I'm going to be turning to two different passages. I'm going to take a text in Psalm 37:4. Chances are you can quote that. I'll be trying to expound the book of 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3 is where we'll spend the majority of our time. The scripture says, if you'll stand with me, I'll quote Psalm 37:4, and then we'll pray, and then we'll turn to 1 Kings 3. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Yes, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let's bow our heads. Father, would you help us now? Would maybe rightly divide the word of truth, and Lord, may you have the preeminence, Lord. We want to, through the preaching of the word of God, exalt you. And Lord, we want every hallelujah, Lord, to lift you up. We want every line of every verse of your word, Lord, to expound just exactly who you are and how good you are to your children. Bless us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. A lot of folks may not know that 35 years ago, this was the verse that we claimed when we were in quest of get a radio station. It was earlier in the year in 1986, in the first men's meeting of the year in the old building in the little nursery room. I mean, there's only a handful of us. We were in the nursery when we met. And I told the fellas, I said, I've got this overwhelming desire to have a radio station. And we were already on a station in Brevard, 720. And so we had the anchor broadcast. We had had Take 5 with Brother Ray. We shared it, and we couldn't afford it, so I had to give it up. But we had the anchor broadcast on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. And so that started in 1985. We were the first hour broadcast or full-length broadcast. Take 5 was the first gospel broadcast when WGCR Great Country Radio came on the air. Psalm 37:4, it was January 1986, I said, I believe God wants us to have a radio station. We hired an engineer out of Marion. He began to look at frequencies, and he found a frequency, 91.7. And he said, I have found a frequency. I've got good news and I've got bad news. I found a frequency. And I said, well, what's the good news? He said, well, it's available. I said, what's the bad news? He said, somebody else has filed on it. And I said, well, how does that work? He said, well, we'll do what's called a competitive filing. And he said, we've got just as much right to have it as they do. Just because they found it does not entitle them to have it. He said, anybody can look in the tables and find it. And so the fact that they found it does not entitle them to it. And so I said, well, okay, yeah, that's good. That's good. I said, who is it that's applied for it? Who is it that's looking? He said, well, let's see here. He said, it's in Greenville, and he said the primary on the application, let me look here, it says it's Harold Seiler. And I said, Harold Seiler? I said, it's on White Horse Road? He said, yep, that's it, White Horse Road. Said, Tabernacle Baptist Institute is the one doing the filing. And I said, drop it. And he said, why? I said, just drop it where we are. We're dead in the water, drop it. And he said, well, we got as much right to it as they do. I said, God will kill me too. I ain't about to file against Harold Seiler. I said, I wouldn't do that for nothing in this world. And he said, well, I don't understand. I said, well, you just need to understand we ain't doing it. So I said, well, maybe it's just me. Maybe God don't want us to have an FM. And we had a little map down, and we were praying over Asheville, Hendersonville, Brevard, drew a triangle on it. It's in the hallway. That same map is in the hallway. We was praying over. We was praying God to give us Asheville, Hendersonville, Brevard, the triangle there, the tri-town triangle. So I found out about a station that switched format, a little station in Black Mountain, 1350. So Christy and I went over. She was in school to be in radio and TV technology. We went over together, and we both got jobs. She would drive every morning from Lake Toxaway to Silva, go to college, leave Silva, and drive to Black Mountain, work at the radio until and close at night, then she'd drive all the way back to Lake Toxaway. She wore out a Ford Escort in her college year. She wore one completely out. just in her time in college. So she would work the weekdays, afternoons. I'd work Saturday afternoon. And I don't think I got paid, just come to think of it. I think I just volunteered. And so I thought it was just an ego thing, and that it would take the itch out, and I would satisfy it. And I was playing the top 40. That's all we had. We had 40 records, and you played the top 40 according to this week's Billboard charts, top 40. And there were some good ones in it. Kenny Cootie Woody, and they were Step Into the Water, and there were several Cathedral songs. But there's some junk in there, too. But, you know, we just had to play. And in my shift, I'd play all the way through the 40 and start back through them again. That's all we played, over and over and over. Well, the owner told me that he was going to be out of town one weekend, and we had a recording studio at the time, and Larry Spears had just got through recording Buck Huntley singing Mother's Prayer. And then he had been down to Victory, Larry Brown's in Augusta, and the Victory Trio singing He's Made a Change in Me. And I carried them cassettes over there, knew the owner was out of town, and I popped in a Buck Huntley, Mother's Prayer, and then I played some of them other songs, and then I popped in He's Made a Change in Me by the Victory Trio. So then the phone went to ringing like crazy. Them little old women would call and they'd say, oh, I just love that song, I just love that song. Now, that was about the top 40. When I started playing something that had the Holy Ghost on it, they didn't know what to do. The phone went berserk. I never thought about this one little thing. I knew the owner was out of town, and I knew he wouldn't know, but there's one thing that I never thought about. Them little old ladies would call on Monday and want to hear them songs. They like to have worried them to death for one entire week. And so when I come into work the next Saturday, he was sitting there. And I said, this ain't good. And he said, who do you think you are and what do you think you're doing? I said, well, I didn't think it'd hurt. He said, you act like you own the place. And I said, well, I'm sorry. He said, if you want to program it, then you buy it. I said, how much? It stunned him. He said, you serious? I said, give me a price. He said, $275,000. Now, you could barely hear this thing. You couldn't even hear it here. You could barely hear it in the edge of Asheville. 1,000 watt, $1,350. I come back and present it to the men. I said, he's wanting to sell that station. Anybody remember that? I come back. And so that same week, I went to take my broadcast up to WGCR, Great Country Radio, and Ed England was there. It was around the 4th of July. I was right in that neighborhood. And I left the tape, and I started to walk out, and I turned back around, and I said, Ed, would you sell this station? This is what he said. He said, it's not for sale, but it can be bought. Now, when somebody tells you that, it means money, all right? I said, get me a number together. He called me back and he said, I'll sell it for $255,000. And at that point, this verse came alive. It was already in our heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. With that in mind, and with that thought in mind, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. I like what the scripture says about Solomon. 1 Kings 3. The Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord. That word is Jehovah. Solomon loved Jehovah, walking in the statutes of his father, of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. Now, let me see if I can kind of explain to you what's going on here. The temple has not been built. The ark has been brought back to Jerusalem under David, but the burnt altar, the burnt altar and the other parts of the tabernacle were still in Gibeon. Okay? So he went to where the tabernacle was. This is prior to the building of the temple, and he offered sacrifices. The high places were established by the people And that's where they did their sacrificing. But technically speaking, it should have been where the ark was. But they failed to do that. That's going to happen, but not yet. And so what we're seeing in the front part of this is an exercise of religion. And he offers 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar, sacrifice. I mean, that's no small feat. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon that altar, the Bible says. Now, I want to assert this. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verse number 20, the Lord said, "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Can I say it this way? He might not have got the location right, but the Lord led the sentence by saying, "Solomon loved the Lord." Is that how he led the sentence out? Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord to the point he would give 1,000 burnt offerings. In the wrong place, but he still offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And God said that he would honor them that honor him. And others will be lightly esteemed. And the scripture says in verse number 5, in Gibeon, this is just after all this has taken place, in Gibeon, the Lord, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital E, that's always Jehovah, appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Now, the word Solomon means peace. And it's kin to the word shalom. And so Solomon and shalom are synonyms. They're close. And so the word Solomon means peace. And the Bible said that the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God asked a question. "What shall I give thee?" Now, here's the amazing part of this. When you're dreaming, at least, well, I guess this is hard to know. Sometimes I dream things that I wish I hadn't dreamed. They say that you dream what's really inside of you. And I say this way, I hope not. Because sometimes I wake up vexed because of some things I dreamed. Yeah. This morning, I woke up in a cold sweat. I dreamed that I had Doris's truck on the back of the fifth wheel trailer, and Levi was pulling me down the road, and I was up in the seat, and it rolled off the truck, and he left without me. And they didn't have the key, and the steering wheel was locked, and I run off the road in her truck. And I woke up in a cold sweat. I hope that's not what's in my heart. I don't know why I dreamed that. But you think about it, God spoke to him in a dream, and here's the thing, Solomon answers him in the dream. So in other words, there's no pretension in this. He don't have any time to plan it. So can I say it this way? I think he's being honest in this. He's answering from his heart. And the Lord does that. Ask what how would you like for God to appear to you and say, "What do you want?" That was almost like Aladdin's lamp, isn't it? To say, "Give me a wish, what do you want to wish for?" And God says to him, "What do you want? Ask what I shall give thee." Now this is the question that the Lord asked. Now, I want to say it this way. When he says it, it's not just a passing request. The word "ask" here is it's not in the passive voice. And so what he's saying is, it's like a mandate. He's not saying, "Well, if you decide to ask something." No, that's not the way it's being done. It says, you need to ask. Ask me. I'm not asking you to ask me. I'm telling you to ask me. Ask me what you want. Ask me what I shall give thee. And so there's the question that the Lord asked. But then I want you to look at the quality of the answer. And by the way, I didn't give you my title. The Legacy of Lemuel. You say, who's Lemuel? Well, Lemuel is named in the last of the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 31. We find from the passage that King Lemuel is addressed. King Lemuel is writing with most of the book of Proverbs. And Lemuel is the name that his mama called him by. It was his pet name, if you will. His name meant Solomon. Solomon meant peace. But the name Lemuel meant belonging to God. In other words, her pet name for her son was, "You belong to God, boy." And every time she'd say, "Lemuel, come to supper. Lemuel, come to lunch. Lemuel, come to breakfast," he was reminded that Lemuel belonged to God. That peaceful Solomon was God's property, belonging to God. And so we look back and we tie those together. The Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord. You know why he loved the Lord? He had been trained to love the Lord. His mama taught him to love the Lord. And his mama taught him some things in the first eight. I mean, Proverbs 31 is known for that great passage concerning the virtuous woman. But there is a great deal of wisdom in the first nine verses that don't pertain to that at all. It is the mother to her young prince, Lemuel. And she gives him instruction. And she says, don't give your strength unto women. She says, don't give your wisdom unto wine. Don't do that. Somebody that's in the point of making decisions has no business drinking whatsoever. She said, be the spokesman for those that can't speak. And judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and of the needy. That's what you need to do, Lemuel. Remember, Solomon, you're Lemuel. You belong to God. And so we have the question that the Lord asked. But then I want you to look at the quality of Lemuel's answer. Belonging to God, Lemuel. Look at what he says and look at what he answers. Verse 6. He's still in this dream. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. He begins to, first of all, show his respect. He shows his respect for his father, and he shows his respect for the mercy that his father had received. If you will remember, David had committed murder. David had committed adultery. And yet he had allowed Solomon to be reared and to come to life. And David could have easily been taken out. And Solomon never would have been if God had judged him according to the law. But instead, God judged him according to mercy. And Solomon recognized that. And the Bible says, as according he walked before thee in truth, he says, and in righteousness, and he says, and in uprightness of heart with thee. He says, God, you were merciful. I greatly respect, Lord, your mercy. You were merciful. But then he now speaks about the monarchy. He says, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness. Not just kindness, but great kindness. As a matter of fact, if you study the two phrases, great mercy and great kindness, they're interchangeable. So I would say it this way. Instead of the word great, I'd say merciful, kind mercy and merciful kindness. And they're almost interchangeable here because it carries the same thought. And he says, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, wait a minute right there. Stop right there. Let's run the pedigree back just for a second. Who is this son? Well, he's the son of David. Well, now, wait a minute. When was he born? Well, he was born after David's sin. To whom was he born? Bathsheba. Now, you starting to see it? Yes, it's true. The first child died. And then God gave, even out of this union, God gave them a Solomon. And Solomon recognizes that truth. Even though the whole thing started out as an adulterous affair, God in mercy And that's what he's talking about. I mean, it's mercy that he's alive. It's mercy that he's the monarch. It's just all God's mercy. And somebody said, God can't bless that. He did. What are you going to do about that? You going to argue with God about it? I mean, what are you going to do with that? I'm not campaigning for it. Don't get me wrong. I've not changed my mind on a thing, and the Word of God hasn't changed. But I just want to tell you this. I'm glad that God's a God of second chances, and third and fourth and fifth and 117th. And I'm glad He's a God of mercy, amen. And Solomon showed respect to that great mercy upon the monarch. He said, great kindness as it is this day. But then Solomon not only shows great respect, but Solomon speaks about his great reservation. He said, what will you ask? The Lord's asked the question, what will you ask? And notice the quality of the answer. He said, I've got reservations, Lord. I've got real reservations about this whole thing. Here I am, I'm young, probably just out of his teenage years, I'm not sure. But David was certainly older when Bathsheba was born. We're pretty sure that's right. And so David's an old man, but Solomon is the oldest of those boys out of the line of Bathsheba, and by all probability, he is just a very young man. And he says this. He says, I am but a little child. Now, he was bigger. He was more than that. But in the eyes of God, he saw himself as he was. He said, I've got reservations about my immaturity, Lord. I'm just a child. Can I tell you, that's how I get to feeling all the time. Hey, you ever come up against a great big God, that's about how big you'll feel. You come up against a great big God, you'll feel so little you crawl up under the carpet. Hey, everybody running around here with their chest pooched out, listen to me. they ain't been around God's, all I can tell them. That ain't what causes that. No, sir, that's self. That's self-exaltation, my friend. But when you exalt him, what did Isaiah say? He said, woe is me. When he saw God high and holy upon his throne and the seraphims crying, holy, holy, holy. What did he say? He said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell among a people of unclean lips. He said, I'm my immaturity, Lord. I got reservations about my immaturity. And then he said, I've got reservations about my ignorance. He said, I know not how to go out or come in. Now understand, he'd been trained. He'd been groomed. He'd been raised in the palace. He'd had the best training you could get. But what he was saying is, Lord, apart from you, I'm but a little child. Lord, apart from you, I'm ignorant. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to go out. Had reservations about his immaturity, reservations about his ignorance. He had reservations about his inability. He said in verse 8, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for a multitude. He said, Lord, I'm like Moses. I can't do this. Why? Who am I to lead this great people? Do you see the quality of his answer? He's asleep. But boy, he's being straight up honest with God. No pretense. So Solomon speaks about his great respect for his father and for the Lord and for the position. Solomon speaks about his great reservation, his immaturity, his ignorance, his inability. And then Solomon sincerely makes a great request. He says, give therefore, verse 9, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. He said, Lord, I want to act right in my conduct. But Lord, I want to be right in my consecration. Lord, I want to have the right heart. I just don't want to have the right conduct. I want to have the right heart about it, Lord. He said that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? So we have seen Solomon. First of all, we saw the question the Lord asked. He said, what shall I give thee? Secondly, we saw the quality of Lemuel's answer. He said, wisdom, Lord. I need wisdom. I need understanding to judge thy people. And then look in verse number 10. I want you to see the quantity of the Lord's answer. But in addition to that, think about this. The quantity of the Lord's answer because of the quality of Lemuel's answer. I don't know what the Lord would have said or done had his answer been different than it was. He might have gotten one of those things. He might have gotten any one of those things. And he might have went down as any one of those things it could have done. But I want you to understand because, listen to what I'm trying to say. It is pretty obvious right here in his sleep that Solomon's delight was in the Lord. And the Lord said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go ahead and give you the desires of your heart, Solomon. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says in verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord. Let me tell you what's interesting about this. The word please, it's actually a double here. It carries a double punch. When you as kids, did you ever do this? My brother used to get me down and he'd hold me down. I hate being held down. My brother's 7 years older than I was. He could pin me with one hand. He'd pin me down. I'd say, let me up. He'd say, please. I'd say, please. He'd say, pretty please. And I'd say, pretty please. He'd say, calf rope. I'd say, calf rope. And I don't know what all else I'd say. But he finally let me up, usually after mama hollered at him, you know. But he tormented me, stuff like that. Can I say this is not just, it didn't just please the Lord. It pleased the Lord. It pretty pleased the Lord. Yeah, that word's bigger than just those loose few letters on that in that page right there. It's bigger than P-L-E-A-S-D-E-D. It's bigger than that. It pleased, it with pleasure, if I could say it this way, with pleasure it pleased the Lord. As the word pleased and pleasure being the same word. With pleasure it pleased the Lord. And that's the thought here. With pleasure pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And this is what God said. Verse 11. He said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and thou hast not asked for thyself long life. Would you not like to live a long time? I mean, all of our mortality is after us. He could have said, Lord, I want to live to be as old as Methuselah was. It's already happened. We know in the Bible, he knew the Bible 969 years. Can you imagine all the things a man can see in 969 years? Can you imagine all the wisdom a man would have in 960? Can you imagine if you were able to work, how much money you'd have if you worked 969 years? If you retired at the ripe old age of 900, how much money would you have in the bank? You know what I'm saying? He said, long life. Didn't ask for long life. And he said, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself. No, wasn't interested in no money. And then he said, you've not even asked the life of thine enemies. He could have said, you could have easily said, Lord, kill that crowd, and that crowd. And that would have been, Lord, destroy my enemies. And they may have all dropped dead, just like the firstborn of Egypt did. I don't know. He said this, verse 11, but hast thou asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment? Understanding to discern judgment. So I want you to look what he did ask for. Verse number 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. Can I tell you that you can be wise without having an understanding heart? You can be smart without having an understanding heart. But my friend, it's from the heart is where the judgments of life are made. And Solomon said, I want an understanding heart. He said, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. You wanted to have a wise and understanding heart? Granted. There's never been nobody that will have as wise an understanding heart as you. Furthermore, there will never be anybody that will have as wise and as an understanding heart as you're going to have. Petition granted. You have chosen the spiritual over the secular. Done. Boom. Petition granted. What he did ask for. But then he said, then he starts, the Lord's talking about it. And he says, he brings up what he didn't ask for. He says, and I have also, now look at this, given thee that which thou hast not asked. He said, both riches, there's the fortune, and honor, there's the fame, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And in verse 14, it's conditional concerning his future. And he says, if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days. Solomon, you didn't ask for any of this, but I tell you what I'm going to do. Just because you asked the right thing, I'm going to throw in all the rest. Just as good measure. Just as good measure. What he did ask for. And the Bible says, and Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem. Notice this. Where was he when all this took place? He's in Gibeon. What had just happened? He had been at the brazen altar. That empty tabernacle where the presence of God wasn't. And he offered 1,000 sacrifices as a form of religion. But something changes. He woke from the dream, and the Bible says he came to Jerusalem, and look at the phrase, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And this time he offered up burnt offerings. Yep. But he also offered up peace offerings, and he made a feast to all of his servants. And in the next portion, we're going to see that wisdom come into play. Two women fighting over a baby, and they bring them in. We can't tell whose it is. One of their baby died, and they switched it. And the two women, they switched the babies. One of the women switched the babies. One of her baby died, and she switched it and got the live baby. Woke up, she said, that's my baby. She said, no, that dead baby's yours. And she said, no, the dead baby's yours. That's my baby. And she said, no, that's my baby. So they come before the king. And they presented it. It's my baby. It's my baby. They said, okay. Solomon's judging. And so they state their case, and they all look at him. Now what did he do? How can you possibly know? He said to the guard, said, can I borrow your sword? Okay. Got the sword. He raised it up. He said, all right, I'm going to divide it, and I'll give each of you half. And the real mother said, no! God forbid, no! It's hers. Give it to her. Give it to her. Let her have it. But the other woman said, yeah, I'll divide it. That's good. I'll take half. Divide it. And the real mama said, don't you dare divide my baby. I'd a whole lot rather her raise my baby alive than I had to see it killed. Give it to her. It's hers. And Solomon said, this is the mother. Case dismissed. And the Bible said they feared him. That he had that kind of discernment. They said they feared the man. That his notoriety went out across the land. And kings and judges and the nations of the world feared this man. This very young man that God had set upon the throne of his father David. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There was a fella, and he had a beautiful yard. I mean, he loved his yard. He enjoyed his yard. I mean, he loved his yard. And he'd rather work in his yard than anything in the world. And he had one of these great big old mowers, big old giant mower. And He'd get out there and mow that grass. I mean, it looked like a golf course. It was so gorgeous. But he got in an accident. And he was all bummed up and his legs in a cast. And he's just in a mess. And he sits there and looks out that window and looks at that lawn. And it just grows taller and taller. It just looks worse and worse. His little boy come in. He's only about 7, 8 years old. And he come in. He said, "Daddy, can we talk about my birthday?" He said, "Son, I'm out of work, and my leg's bummed up." He said, we'll talk about that later." Some time passed, and that grass continued to grow. And he said, "Daddy, can we talk about my birthday?" He said, "Son, I done told you now. You know, we're going to get you something for your birthday. I know you want a bicycle." He said, "But just Daddy's going to have to work it out. Now, my disability's not got started, and I got hospital bills, and we're just going to have to wait, son. We're not going to talk about your birthday right now." And finally, it's just the day before his birthday, and the little boy comes in and says, "Daddy, can we talk about my birthday now?" He said, "Okay, son, what is it? You want that bicycle down there at the store?" He said, "No, Daddy." He said, "The Western Flyer down there at the Western Auto, that one that's got the headlight on it and got that thing that comes back and got the white wall tires, that's the one you've been wanting since you was old enough to ride a bike. That's the one you've been wanting, a 26-inch. You've been talking about that bicycle forever, that you wanted to get it on your birthday. That's not the one you want?" He said, "No, Daddy." He said, "Well, what do you want?" He said, "I want that little red push lawnmower sitting in the window right beside of it." Now, why do you think he wanted that little lawnmower? Because he couldn't ride that big old thing that Daddy had. That little boy wanted to mow Daddy's grass. And he wanted, his delight was in what Daddy delighted in. And he wanted to forfeit that bicycle and put off that Western Flyer for another year and get him a little push lawnmower that he could push that lawn with so he could please his father. The Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Understand, that is not a blank check to get anything you want. That's not what it says. As a matter of fact, there's a huge prerequisite at the beginning of it. Delight thyself also in the Lord. In other words, if you will be delighted, if your heart beats the same thing that God's heart beats, God will provide it. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I remember when I was younger than my grandkids, I remember going to the library and checking out a library book about radio. I read a technical manual when I was younger than these boys. And I saw that you had to have an engineer on staff, and back then you did. And I thought, where would we ever get an engineer? And I thought, I was thinking all about those things as a young boy. And I was fascinated by it. And as soon as I surrendered to preach the same year, and we were struggling, I went and got a radio broadcast. And I went up here at WPNF, and I said, "I don't have any recording equipment. I don't have anything." And this young teenage guy, he said, "Flip this switch, turn this switch, watch those meters. This is the reel-to-reel. Push it this way. This is how you do it." And he lit a cigarette and went in the other room. And so I had to figure out that whole system. It had a separate control room on the right-hand side of the main control. I could see him through the glass, but he never one time would answer one of my questions. So I learned trial and error. And I'd record on them big reel-to-reel tapes. And I would get it about all done, and I would get the first one done and the second one done all on the same reel. And I'd get all the way to Friday, the heavenward bound gospel broadcast. The theme song was, "Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then shall rise, heavenward bound." And I started Heavenward Bound Gospel Ministries. Even had a bus at one point. I'd get to Friday and say something back up. I'd say, you know, "Welcome on this Thursday." And I go, "Oh, man." Here's the thing. You couldn't just start over right there. And it didn't have an erase head on it. You couldn't just tape over it like a cassette. You had to take a bulk eraser, take the whole thing off, erase everything on it, and start all over. I spent sometimes a whole evening making five-minute broadcasts. And we were going under. I was paying $1 a minute in 1979, 1980. I was paying $1 a minute for radio time on a station you could barely hear between the bridges. If they had put a loudspeaker on the top of the antenna, people would have had to listen to it and would probably have had a larger audience than what I was reaching. I got a letter one day addressed to the Heverer Bound broadcast to my address. I got that letter and I thought that I've died and gone to heaven. I've got a letter. And it was from a fellow I didn't know, but he talked about what a blessing that broadcast was. And he signed the letter, Larry Weichel, Pisgah Forest. And I end up being his pastor a long time later, about 41 years later. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about it was there. They throwed me off. I was at Claude Nicholson's house reading the meter, and at 5 till, instead of having the gospel music on, they had some old rock and roll, and at 5 till, my broadcast didn't go on. So I went in Claude Nicholson's house, barred the telephone, and called down to the station, and I said, where's my broadcast? Ed England said, son, there's been some changes, and you don't fit in the broadcast. We're changing our format, and you no longer fit in. Come see me after work. I come by there, and he said, son, I should have called you. I am so sorry. Your broadcast has been removed. And this is what he said. He said, me and Keith Cole, who works here, does the news, he said, we're trying to start another radio station. And he said, son, if that ever happens, you got the first slot, I promise. Well, he kept his promise. And in the fall of 1985, I had the first broadcast, gospel broadcast ever, on 720, Monday at 12 noon. And I took a week, Brother Ray took a week. I took a week, Brother Ray took a week, and I had Sundays. And it was more than we could handle at the church. And so I give him take five, and I kept the Anchor Broadcasting. I was sitting in his living room on the other side of, up on 178 in their house, and we were talking about a broadcast. We had been to Sears and Roebuck and bought a cassette player to record with, a microphone and a cassette player at Sears and Roebuck in Asheville, and drove his old work truck over there, and we sitting there in the room, and he said, I don't know what to call it. I had something in mind on what it was, and Miss Jean was fixing dinner, and she stuck her head around the door, and she said, won't you call it Take Five? Well, that was it. That's how it got its name. But listen, God has a way of bringing things to pass. And God has a way of protecting things that he brings to pass. Now understand, this is nothing about me. It's all about him. It was the delight of the Lord to have an old-fashioned gospel preaching, gospel singing radio station in West North Carolina. It was God's delight. And all we did was get in on it. And God brought it to pass. You say, why are you telling us this all, preacher? Because I think you need to know. That verse works, but you got to work it. And God knows it's been some hard work. Whoo! But how thrilled to see that little bitty 1,000-watt station become the largest powered AM gospel station in the United States of America. That's no small thing. And then for God to turn around and let us be the very first full Christian gospel station on the internet in history, as far as I know, the history of the world. Lamar still has nobody that can predate us, and he's the one that did it. I didn't do it. I didn't even know what it was. Hardly. He had to try to explain it to me, but we started broadcasting. We led everybody. And then all those years later, I found that little map rolled up somewhere. And God said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to give you that too. And he gave us the FM. And it reaches Brevard and Hendersonville, Asheville. Not all of Asheville, it reaches Asheville. Why? Because it pleased him. And the scripture says, to whom much is given, much is also required. And I'm more scared right now than I was for Share-a-thon, because I want to be the right steward. I want to be going to give it everything we got. I want it to be the best that we can possibly make it. And I want it to serve the people and serve the needs of the people and glorify God with every song, with every message, with everything that we do. I want it to bring glory and honor. Every hallelujah. I've thought about taking off the entire format and just play that song 24 hours a day. Every hallelujah. Yeah. Lift him up, hallelujah. Thank God. I'm talking about, hey, the Bible says God inhabiteth his praise, and I believe that. I think we ought to stand. Pick a theme song, but if there's a theme song, that's bound to be it.
There is no higher king, there is no higher throne, majestic and eternal, his kingdom stands alone. There is no other rock, we build our lives upon, we rise and give him honor, oh praise to him belongs.
Also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that entereth into the veil. I'd had the video ready, but I didn't think about it. Can I say, the rest of my time on earth. I want it to be hallelujah, amen. I want it to be for His glory. I want to waste no more time on anything else. I just want it to be for His glory. I've wasted a lot of time on a lot of things, but I don't want to waste my time on anything else that's not going to bring Him glory. Amen. Father, accept our gratitude, accept our praise. Oh, Lord, it sounds so empty. It sounds so hollow. But, Lord, I thank You that that word, Lord, the way that You have exalted Solomon the prince, Lord, we feel like that You've, Lord, exalted us far above measure. This church and these trustees and all the churches that, Lord, have been a part of this, Lord, You've lifted us up beyond imagination as far as being able to serve You. Lord, we bless You. And Father, we pray that You'd help us to be faithful stewards in the days that lie ahead for Your glory and honor. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.